you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Australia. It's Tuesday, February 13. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer, I guess, for Rolling Stone, Junkie, Red Bull Magazine, The Brooklyn Game, and one half of the Durong Guys NBA podcast. And I am currently in Larry Armour Studios, New York City, New York, staring at about 9 Puerto Rican dudes on the building on top, like just basically staring in on top of that brownstone across the road from us. So nice. But anyway, I'm making sure that you know everything that's going on in the NBA, who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball today. You know, just out here repping Australia, talking NBA junk. And it's your daily favoritist NBA podcastist. Nice. All right, we're wrapping a very fun night in the NBA last night. We had some game winners, Jinglin' Joe Ingles' Jazz continuing their streak, and some more of LeVar Ball being batshit crazy. So we'll break down all that with the usual dumbassery. Yeah, Nas, hashtag better than Lonzo Ball, the unpopular opinion of the day. And as we do every day, we check in on every Australian NBA player just to see how they're all going. And it's Tuesday, all day. So we add to the Shane Heal Memorial, random guy going off stat line of the week, Hall of Fame, and check in on Mango Mathiang down there in the Greensboro Swarm. And it means we'll finish up with a brand new Jinglin' Joe Ingles HR manager. That's right, man. Joe Ingles, HR manager. We'll preview all the NBA games for tonight. And it'll be fun. Trust me. No, come on. It will be. All right, let's do it. Let's get to it. Go, 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 go. NBA Australia. This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better, because it's NBA Australia. All right, y'all ready for the daily whip around? Because this is where we whip around the NBA, recap all of last night's goings on. You know, just talking NBA junk, because that's what we do. We're here to keep you informed. And apparently swear a bunch. That's what we do. The whole mess of swearing. It's NBA Australia. Don't forget. Monday last night, what happened? Oh, a couple of things happened. It was pretty good. The Pelicans beat Detroit 118-103 in Detroit. And this is fun, man. Anthony Davis taking on Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin. Oh, and Emeka Okafor started for the Pelicans. That's right, man. Mech is back. The number two pick after Dwight Howard in 2004 draft. Back from like a horrible back injury. He might have even retired. Went to the G League, worked his way back, made it to the NBA roster again, hit the bench, and now is starting again. That's fucking inspirational. That's almost as good as a Dele video. Holy shit, I'm almost tearing up. It didn't help, really, but the Pelicans won. But Andre Drummond still had 13 points and 21 rebounds. 20 fucking one rebounds. Jesus. Blake Griffin had 22-6-3 in a losing effort for the Pistons. Anthony Davis just out there shredding. Absolutely shredding at 38-10. Unfucking believable. This comes after his 44 against the Nets on Saturday. Jesus. And I'll tell you what, Nikola Mirotic is a problem. Holy shit. Unbelievable. 21-12 after having 21-10 on Saturday. He goes 7-16 and 4-8 from 3. Holy crap. Pelicans led a bit of an impressive run during this road trip as well. 21-12 for Giroux in this game. They lost to Philly last Friday, beat the Nets on Saturday, and beat the Pistons here. And they needed to do that because hanging on, man, in the back half of that Western Conference playoff picture is particularly brutal, considering the Clippers and Jazz are nipping right at their heels. So the Pelicans are at 30-26, tied with Denver in the 7-8 spots. And the Clips and Jazz are literally just like a game behind. So that's brutal. Pelicans gonna bank these wins while they can, even without Boogie. If they can hold on, that's gonna be fucking huge for them keeping Anthony Davis in the future, eh? What do you reckon? Speaking of the Nets and the Clippers, whoa, 114-101. Glad I did not go to this. I was all like, ah, man, it's gonna take me like 40 minutes to get out to Brooklyn. They're playing the Clippers. Do I really want to go? And like, you know, I'd have to like just fucking jump on the subway. It's all cold and I'm going to rock up and pay a bunch of money and watch Danilo Gallinari and Austin Rivers. So I decided not to, but I watched most of it. That was all right. 114-101. Clippers win. All the Clip starters getting double figures. DJ, DeAndre Jordan, 16-17. Fucking hell, man. These rebounding numbers being put up are ridiculous. Austin Rivers back to his punchable self. He had 20 and 4. Not bad. No, Lou Williams had 20 and 4. Hey, Lou Will is not punchable. He's a lovely chap. Love me some Lou Will. But Austin Rivers, man, just dropping these little floaters and shit everywhere. It's like, man, I just want to punch him right in his fucking little stupid Austin Rivers fucking face. Oh, he ends up with 17 points and 4 assists. Anyway, fuck you, Austin Rivers. Man, I'll tell you what, the Nets defense, though, that's where it falls apart, man. They allowed the Clips to shoot over 56% for the game. And I mean, for the Nets, D'Angelo Russell had 16 off the bench, but I don't think it's a coincidence that they've lost 10 of their last 12, and it coincides with when he came back to the fucking lineup. The Nets started sucking basically as soon as he got back. He just carries himself in a way that screams complete fucking dickhead. And I don't know, man. The rest of the team are kind of like, ugh, this fucking guy. Anyway, 6-game losing streak for the Nets. They've lost 10 of their last 12, as mentioned. Brutal. Moving on. Oh, the other sad sack team in New York. The New York City Knickerbockers of New York City lose to the Philadelphia 76ers 108-92. TJ McConnell! Teej! Triple-double. Unbelievable. This was fun as hell. I watched a bunch of this as well. Shouts to the New York local broadcasts. He had 10 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds. It's the old Jason Kidd triple-double for Teej. The crowd went fucking apeshit. His teammates were going crazy. This was awesome. Good job, TJ McConnell. Big Simo and Embiid, though, killed the Sixers. Killed the Knicks, rather. Jesus, they were awesome for the Sixers. Big Simo, 13-6-6. Embiid, 17-6. Dario the homie, Saric. 24 points. Not bad, bro. Not bad. Fourth straight win for the Sixers. It's kind of their 10th straight home win. It's like their 10th straight win in Philly. They had a loss in London, which was technically a Philly home game against the Celtics. So it doesn't quite count. But yeah, anyway, there you go. Crazy. Knicks kept it close for 3 quarters thanks to Super Cool Bees, the King of New York, Michael Beasley, with 22. And Enos the Penis Cantor with his usual cheap 17 and 13. And his weirdo fucking mouth. Good job, Enos the Penis. Anyway, moving on. Magic and Bulls. Oh, this was close, man. The Bulls win 105-101. Bulls nearly blew an 18-point fourth quarter lead. The Magic, they tied it up with 15 seconds left, but then Zach LaVine stole Jonathan Simmons' inbounds and dunked it. You need to go like watch the highlights of this. I was actually watching it on the old League Pass Live, and it was fucking bananas. Zach LaVine, man, then he nailed a couple of free throws, sealed the deal. Pretty good. Awesome. How about for the Magic? Well, they suck, but at least... Oh, is that the Super Mario watch? Nice. 24 points for Super Mario. 6 rebounds, 4 steals. Yeah, 23 in his last game, averaging 17 points a game over his last 5. Fucking love you, Mario. Hazonia, what up? 22 for Fournier, sure. The Magic get Vooch and Aaron Gordon back after the All-Star break. Well, maybe Aaron Gordon. No one's entirely sure, but looks like he should be all right. Vucevic's hand is getting better, so he should be back for the first game after the All-Star break. And Aaron Gordon's left hip flexor strain might be all right with another week and a half of rest. So he's hoping. For the Bulls, 21 for Lowry. That's a girl's name, Markkanen. 19-7 off the bench for fighting Bobby Portis. And Zach LaVine, the comeback kid. Had that game winner and ended up with 18-7-5. Not bad. Spurs and Jazz. Oh, the Jazz win 101-99. Come back from 13 down. Oh, the jingler. 10 straight wins for the Jazz. Unbelievable, man. They were down 83-70 with 8 minutes to go and then tied it up at 87 with 4 minutes to go. Unfucking believable. And then how was the end of this? You got to go watch the clip. Royce O'Neal on the last possession plays Kyle Anderson perfectly. And Manu, like, he basically forces the turnover and, like, basically wins the game. And Manu, just, like, as he's falling out of bounds, throws up this trick shot that nearly fucking goes in. I don't think it got anywhere near enough of the attention that it should have. But, man, the Jazz, you know how they got there? Donovan fucking Mitchell! I'll tell you that much. We'll talk about him at length a little bit later. Just to say, he had a fucking corker of a game. Jingling Joe Ingles, he had a great one as well, keeping up his incredible play during this 10-game winning streak. We'll talk about him in the Australian Player Watch. How about Rudy? Ah! 10 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks for Rudy Gobert, the Eiffel Tower.
Hello, it's me, Big Rudy Gobert. I am the French blocker.
Jay Crowder looks happy again, which is nice. He had 14. For the Spurs, no LaMarcus Aldridge. Not much of a hope without Kawhi or LMA. Kyle Anderson had 16. All the starters were in double figures, but they just didn't have enough to get over the hump when the going got tough. Patty Mills had an absolute shocker. We'll talk about that later. And then finally, oh geez, the Suns lose to the Warriors 129-83. Oh, Jesus. Did you see this? Steve Kerr let his players coach the team. Oh, man, this was fucking awesome. I love this sort of shit. This is great shit by Steve Kerr to keep his dudes engaged heading into All-Star break, right? So you got Iguodala, you got David West, you got Draymond all with the whiteboard and legit, like during the game, drawing up plays and coaching the team. Well, the actual coaching staff just sort of hang out and just got to make sure that everything's kosher. Draymond took over as well. So he wasn't playing. So this was awesome to keep Draymond engaged, get everybody fucking on board with Dre. And it worked because, you know, the Warriors won by 46 fucking points. And it was very cool. So I really, really dig this idea. And I'm kind of like, man, sometimes coaches really do just got to get out of the way. And especially against teams like the Suns. Man, this is fucking a really cool way just to bear down, get everybody all like sort of engaged and talking and communicating and all that sort of shit. So it was really good. I dig it. For the Suns, Elfrid Payton had 29 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, and only his second Suns game. But, you know, they also got beat by 46. The coward Kevin Durant for the Warriors, he was nearly perfect in this. 8 of 9 for 17. Steph the Dork was close to a triple-double in 3 quarters. He had 22 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. That meant we got extended Swaggy P time! Because that's right, man, garbage time is Swaggy P time. And he didn't disappoint either. He was out there smashing, had 16 points, 5 of 10, went 3 of 7 from 3. Ah, Swaggy P, never stop. Oh, and anyone who thinks this is disrespectful that Steve Kerr let his players coach the team, Suns, you know it's fucking disrespectful to the people who come to see you play? They pay good money to see you play basketball. It's disrespectful to lose fucking games with 46 points, you fucking flogs. Not the other time trying to shake up their team. Get the fuck out of here. Anyone who says that's a dickhead. All right, let's move on. That was good. That was some good night game wraps. That was a fun night. So let's get to the NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
Nice. That's a nice.
Oh, it's got to be TJ McConnell. I love that everyone, like TJ McConnell got serenaded with MVP chants in the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia last night. After he finally got that last rebound for the triple-double. So he was on over 10 assists for like a little while there and finally got one more bucket to get him to 10 points. Then he's at 10, 11 assists. And then finally, after 9 rebounds, got the 10th rebound. The place was nearly brought down. He got showered. He's like, you know, antsing up the crowd as well. He had the Jason Kidd triple-double, 10 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds. Teammate TJ McConnell for your first ever triple-double. This was amazing. You got treated like a fucking champion. MVP chance and all. Good job, TJ McConnell. That's a knife.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
All right. Who's old mate no mates today? Who has got no mates? Oh, gee, I don't know. LeVar Ball again? Damn, son. I don't know what to tell you, LeVar Ball, but it's a... Look, let's take it away, Stephen A. Smith.
I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I just don't know.
LeVar, he's all like, what I'm going to do to bring Lonzo Ball, LaMelo Ball, and LiAngelo to one NBA team. He said, Lonzo will be on his never last. Lonzo will be on his third year, and I will let every NBA team know that Lonzo not going to resign with the Lakers, but will go to any team that will take all three of my boys. That's not how free agency works. Lonzo's got a 4-year team option contract, you fucking dickhead. Then becomes a restricted free agent, so no matter what happens, he'd have to opt out and take a qualifying offer to then move somewhere else a year later in his fifth year and lose out on millions and millions and millions. Like, we're talking at that point, if he's actually good, if he takes a qualifying offer as the second overall pick, he'd be, what, around, so what, the $9, $10 million range of the qualifying offer versus if he's going to get a max and he's awesome, around $30 million a year. I don't know. That doesn't seem very big baller to me. Look, what a total fucking bell end LeVar Ball is. We all know that. That's obvious, but I'm not sure if the whole ruin your kids' lives till they turn on you thing is good parenting, but I'm pretty sure it's not good parenting. Anyway, LeVar Ball, in a surprise twist, dickhead. All right, let's get to, weirdly enough, better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
I also don't know how Freedance works. All right, this is your daily look into who was better than Lonzo Ball last night. It is hashtag better than Lonzo Ball. And I don't know what to tell you, bros. He just keeps getting fucking better. Donovan fucking Mitchell. Oh, scored 25 points last night for the Jazz men in their two-point win over the Spurs, including the go-ahead pull-up jumper with 39 seconds left, hit two buckets and a free throw to clinch the game in the last minute in the come-from-behind win over the Spurs, added 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, and only had 1 turnover. That is unfucking real. Donovan fucking Mitchell, man. A, I can't wait to see him in the rookie challenge and the dunk comp, but we're going to talk about this in just a second, but that's a damn good rookie. I'll tell you that much. How about Lonzo? I don't know. He's back doing full speed non-contact drills. So there might be light contact drills going on over the All-Star break. So hopefully he'll be back straight after. Anyway, we'll find out. Anyway, let's get moving to the Yeah Nahs for today, right after these words. G'day. This is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Straya. Right, NBA Straya, we back. It's NBA Straya, yeah, nahs. We take 3 NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. So number one, hey, is Donovan fucking Mitchell gonna win Rookie of the Year over Ben Simmons? Yeah, nah. Yeah, he fucking might. Oh, Jesus. So here's a bit of stat for you. Donovan Mitchell is having the second best scoring season for a rookie over the last 20 years. Per 36, and with the players having played at least half a season. So he's averaging 21.9 points per 36. So that puts him above Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Kyrie Irving, Vince Carter, Big Carl Anthony Towns, Rusty Westbrook, and even Paul Pierce. The only player who had a better rookie scoring season per 36 was fucking Ben Gordon, who also won 6th Man of the Year as a rookie, which is pretty fucking impressive. Can he beat Ben Simmons? If he keeps these fucking like game winners happening and shit like that, and the Jazz keep fucking smashing like 10 game win streaks out of nowhere, and he's the primary scoring and playmaking option, it's a hell of a fucking race now, man. Like Simmons and the Sixers are hanging on. They're winning. It's no problems. They're doing what they should have been doing earlier, but you know, they're young. They've won 4 straight. They're 29 and 25. The Jazz are 29 and 28. Simo, he's averaging, he's like 16, 8, and 8. And man, Donovan fucking Mitchell, though, he's out there as a rookie, just killing motherfuckers. Like, it's terrifying that he's out there 19 and a half points per game, and he started the year on the bench. Oh, fuck. Anyway, so there you go. He might win Rookie of the Year, but either way, we've got a fucking awesome race in the last third of the season after All-Star. And a little bit of a fun note with that second best scoring season for a rookie, per 36, Joel Embiid, his per 36 last year was actually 29 points, 11 rebounds, and 3 blocks. But he only played 31 games, so it doesn't quite count. And going further back, past 20 years, Mitch Richmond averaged 23.1 points as a rookie, but he was Mitch Richmond, and that was like 1988. Mitch Richmond, unreal. Number two, the Markelle Fultz thing is the weirdest storyline in the NBA right now. Fuck oath it is. We don't even know what's wrong with him. The Sixers don't even know what's wrong with him. He's the number one pick and no one knows what's fucking wrong with the guy. He can't shoot. What the fuck is happening here? Is everyone taking crazy pills? I feel like everybody's on crazy pills. What the fuck? Just let him play and like work his shit out. I don't know, man. This is bananas. absolutely fucking bananas. So there's two separate stories that came out yesterday. One in the Philly Voice by Cole Newbark and one on The Ringer by John Gonzalez, basically talking about Markelle Fultz and like getting a bit of organizational background and like a timeline of who said what, when they said it, and what it means. And basically, it's all fucking weird double talk by the Sixers. They don't know what the fuck's happening at all. And Fultz clearly doesn't have a fucking clue either. So it is bananas and definitely the weirdest fucking storyline in the NBA. All right, number three, Steve Kerr letting his team coach themselves is lazy. Yeah, nah. Yeah, it kind of is. I mean, Steve Kerr's getting paid like $6 million a year to coach. And he's like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to take a night off. You guys coach yourselves. That's fucking awesome. Good job, Steve Kerr. Getting paid. Hanging out. Just making sure Draymond's doing the coaching shit. All right. Come on, it's not that lazy. It's just funny. All right, look at me. Look at me.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
It's unpopular opinion of the day. Utah are now the most dangerous lower seed in the West, right? I mean, even though they aren't in the fucking playoff picture just yet, they're still the 10th seed, even though they've won 10 straight. They only just got back over 500 for the first time since like they were 13-13. But who's more dangerous? Portland, Denver, New Orleans, the Clippers, or the Jazz? It's got to be the fucking Jazz, man. And if I'm Golden State, I definitely don't want to fucking see these guys in the playoffs, because you know that it's going to be like, even if you do sweep them or it's a 5-game series, you're going to play your fucking ass off. You're going to get your ass kicked. And it's going to be a lot fucking tougher than like running up the score on like Portland or the Pelicans or something, right? Jesus. So I don't know if they'll have a crack at actually popping off, but well, you never know. You never know. I don't know if it's that unpopular either. Utah fucking rule, dude. 10 games. Jesus. Anyway, let's move on to it's Tuesday, so it's the Shane Hill Shoot Your Shot Random Guy Amazing Stat Line Hall of Fame of the Week.
He threw it down! Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, I'm healed. We just spoke about him, Mitch Richmond. Oh, welcome to the Shane Hill Shoot Your Shot Random Amazing Stat Line of the Week Hall of Fame. Mitch Richmond, 47 points against the Houston Rockets on December 15, 1995. 47 points. Goes 17 of 29 from the field, only 3 of 5 from 3. This is fucking bananas, right? This is back in the day when you couldn't, like, hit 47 points on 8 threes because no one took 8 threes in a fucking game. And Mitch Richmond was a good 3-point shooter. This is fucking crazy. So he has 10 of 13 free throws, 3 of 5 from 3, and just 29 shots from the field. That is fucking bananas. That means 24 of his shots were 2-pointers. Gets to 47 the hard fucking way. Thing is, he also had 7 assists. Mitch, dude, you could have gone for 70. Fuck. Unbelievable. Anyway, there you go. Welcome to the Shane Hill Shoot Your Shot Random Amazing Statline Guy of the Week.
He threw it down. Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Damn straight. All right, good job, Mitch Rimpin. All right, we'll be back with Australian Player Watch after this.
Oi, 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 it's old mate Dally over here. That's right, Matty Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, welcome back to NBA Straya. It's Australian Player Watch. We talk about every Australian player, check in how they're doing. Ben Simmons last night played the Knicks, big win. Big Simo went 6 of 8 from the field for 13 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals and 3 blocks. Holy shit, that is 8 blocks in his last 5 games for Simo. Holy shit. So for the year, he's at 16-8-8. Not fucking bad, mate. Shooting over 50%. Unbelievable. On your Simo. Looking good, man. He had a couple of fucking yams last night, too. They're just like, holy shit. The Knicks didn't know what to do. Patty Mills. Ooh, heartbreaking loss to the Jazz last night for the Spurs, and Patty Mills did not help matters. Had a bad game, 0 points. 0 of 3 overall from the field, and they were all 3-pointers. Patty missed all of them. Yeah, man, this was a tough one for Patty. Just a rough night overall for the Spurs, and especially without LaMarcus Aldridge, they needed, like, you know, a kick in the pants from Patty. He had 4 assists, though, and 1 rebound. I mean, still, just a tough one out there for the old Spurzos. Yeah, so in that was 22 minutes as well, Patty. 0 for 3. Jesus, gross. Jingling Joe Ingles, though. They beat the Spurs. And he had himself a fucking corker of a game. 20 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 4 of 6 from 3. Holy shit, hot streak, Joe. Last three games, he had 20 points, 24 points, a career high, 23 points the game before that. Unbelievable. So in the 10-game Jazz win streak, the pride of Adelaide is smashing it, averaging 16.2 points a game on 58.5 from the field and 57.1% from three. That is absolutely fucking bananas. Consider, like, 16.2 points a game is no fucking, like, laughing matter, considering for the year he was at 10. Unbelievable, dude. Anyway, good job, Jingler. 10-game Jazz win streak. This is one of the fun fucking stories in the NBA right now. So, what about the Bucks? Oh, Dally and Thon, they didn't play. They've got a game tonight. How about Andrew Bogut? Yep, no team yet. Aaron Bangers Baines. Oh, got a couple of days off there, Bangers. Might need to recuperate after that, you were killed. Let's just have a moment's silence for Aaron Bangers Baines. Thoughts and prayers, folks. Thoughts and prayers. After you were killed by J.R. Smith. We'll remember you, Bangers. We'll remember you. We will remember you. All right, moving on. How about Andrew Bogut? As mentioned, he's sitting at home, chilling out. No team yet. Interesting that no one's picked him up yet. I guess they're all figuring out the buyout market and seeing what's going on. How about a daily question? Yo, is Dante Exum still hurt? Yep, but coming back after All-Star break, hopefully. And the final part, Australian Player Watch. What's going on with Kyrie? Oh, yeah. Still doing all right. You know, 25 points a game, no problems. And it's Tuesday, mate, so we've got time for the Mango Matthew Young check-in. It's Mango. He got a mention in fucking Parliament by our hero. Our mate, the Honourable Tim Watts, Member of Federal Parliament, mentioned Mango by name, him and Thon McKerr. Unbelievable. And he's down there in the Greensboro Swarm in the G League, Charlotte Hornets G League affiliate, and fucking smashing. They played 4 bloody games in the last week. How's this? And he had an absolute court. Well, he had a really good run. Well, apart from Friday's game, but anyway, we'll talk about that. Wednesday, they had a win over the Mad Ants, and Mango had 18 points, 5 rebounds, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Unreal. Had an absolute Barry Crocker on Friday, though, in a loss to the Lakeland Magic. 2 points, 8 rebounds, 3 blocks. Yeah, went 1 of 5 from the field. Not that great, Mango, but still. 8 rebounds, 3 blocks. Smashing it. Saturday, lost to the Bayhawks. Oh, 9 points, 10 rebounds. Almost a double-double. 9 points, 10 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 more blocks. Jesus. And then another final Monday. Win over the 87ers. 12 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. Mango! Unreal. Cut down the fouls and the turnovers as well. In those 4 games, he only had 6 total turnovers and 6 total fouls. On you, Mango! Shit, yeah. Gonna try to get some time with the big fella when he's up here. That's fucking awesome. Mango Mathiang, smash in. All right, let's get on to the game previews right after. Oh, I'm gonna say this one. Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Street, eh? Cheer, Brew. All right, yo, we're back. NBA Street, the Patty Mills Game Day Bullet, Game Day Inspiration Board. What's Patty Mills got to say today? Oh, not much. It was just the old Game Day Baller, Game Day, hashtag at Utah, hashtag go Spurs, go. Unfortunately, the Spurs did not go. In fact, they lost. What are you going to do? All right, let's get to the game previews. Game previews for Tuesday. What do you reckon? Heat at Raptors. We've got 6 games. Heat at Raptors. This is a tasty challenge for the Raps. The new number 1 seed in the East. Out there smashing, and the Heat are just sort of sitting there, lurking, lurking, always lurking. 30 and 26, they're in the 8th spot in the East, just ahead of the Pistons. So, Miami, got D-Wade back, need to see how they go. Raptors need to just keep on smashing on their way to the All-Star break. See how they go, but I reckon the Raps win that, no problems. Hawks at Bucks. Oh, Bucks and the Greek Freak up against the worst team in the East. Yeah, I think they'll be fine there. Even without Dally, they might have just enough to get over the hump, I reckon. The Bucks are happily sort of sitting. They've got less wins than the Pacers in 6th spot, but they're in 5th because of one less loss. Good job. Good job, Milwaukee. I reckon, yeah, Bucks win that. Rockets at Wolves. Oh, this is awesome. A potential second round playoff matchup. You got Big Cat versus Clint Capela. Jimmy Butts and Wigo going up against Harden and CP3. You've even got an awesome like matching sort of coach matchup with Tibbs and D'Antoni. You got defense first and then like balls out offense. That's fucking great, man. So this would be an awesome second round playoff matchup if it's like 1-4 or 2-3. See how it goes. Rockets at Wolves. At Wolves. Oh, I might have to go with the Wolves at home. Oh, not bad. Oh, we got another fucking corker. Cavs at Thunder. This is awesome. Smashing the new Cavs up against the Thunderos. Hopefully Rusty's back. Maybe Melo's back to take on his buddy LeBron. But we'll get to see more of the new Cavs, right? We got George Hill. We got Rodney Hood. We got Larry Nance Jr. and fucking Jordan Clarkson. That's going to be fun as hell. What a great game. Give me the... I reckon the Cavs. I reckon they win that. The Thunder, a bit of a swoon. Kings at Mavs. Gross! I mean, the only good thing about this is the awesome battle of the young rookie point guards, right? De'Aaron Fox and Dennis Smith Jr. Though, De'Aaron Fox did go out of the last game with like a bit of an ankle tweak. So, he's hoping he actually plays. If not, the Mavs are going to kill him regardless. And then the last game tonight, Spurs at Nugs. Spurs on a back-to-back going to Denver. No thank you. Unless Pop was holding out LaMarcus for this game, I don't give the Spurs much of a chance at all. Nugs will win that. The Joker up against Pau Gasol, the prototype Joker. Yeah, tough. All right, you know what? That's it. That's been NBA Australia for today, Tuesday, February 13. We're back tomorrow for more ridiculousness. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at NBA Australia and Facey. Even Instagram, man, chuck us a follow. We've got all the good shit up on there. Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes and Google Play. Come on, chuck us a rating and review while you're at it, would ya? Come on, help us out, bro. That actually does help to bump up like ratings and you know, pop up on the actual iTunes and Google Play store fronts, which is nice. So if you can chuck us one, do it. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats, the best band in Australia. Their new single, Stop, is everywhere. It's an absolute fucking perler. Go give it a listen right now. Because this is finishing, so you need to go listen to House Hats. House Hats. Yeah. Extra special thanks to the legends at Green Green Green, Iowa, Fascinator, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. NBA Australia support Australian bands. Check them out on Bandcamp and Facey. They're awesome. And that's it, man. Stick around for Joe Ingles, HR manager, where Jingling Joe comes in and answers a HR question. Because he looks like your prototypical HR manager. It just makes sense, mate. It just makes sense. All right, man. That's been NBA Australia for today. Remember, hit us up with any questions or anything over on Facebook or Twitter or even email, man. NBA Australia Gmail. What up? Do it. And that's it for today. NBA Australia. We'll catch us tomorrow.
Later, Hosen.
G'day. It's Joe Ingles here for my weekly front-facing appointment in the NBA Australia office, taking a break from drinking, dunking and sinking, that's coffees, balls and threes respectively, to answer your HR questions as NBA Australia's resident HR manager. Because, look, you may not have known this, but I didn't go to uni in Australia just to play basketball. I also majored in human resources. What can I say? I just like the smell of offices. But I'm also very qualified to help out with any questions you might have on pretty much any topic. After all, the first thing you learn in human resources is that humans are resources. And I'll tell you, these methods get results. Have you been watching the Jazz lately? The Utah Jazz and I have got our human resources on track and we're doing good things on our 10-game winning streak. It's the value of meeting daily KPIs writ large. But I'm still making sure I take care of my duties as NBA Australia HR manager. So let's get to today's question. It comes from Kobe in Cleveland. Good evening, Mr. Ingles. Oh, thank you, Kobe. I've got a question about HR and integrating new employees. See, I recently moved into a management role with our organization. And even though I face criticism myself for being young and not overly qualified, I've had to make some hard decisions on some underperforming senior leadership. So I've replaced them and brought in younger employees who aren't as qualified, but come with a millennial sense of work ethic and a thirst for challenge. What are your tips for helping get the new employees interacting productively with our remaining older staff? Yours sincerely, Kobe from Cleveland. Ah,
Well, I'm glad you wrote in, Kobe, because integrating new faces into a workforce presents numerous unique challenges. Will their work ethic continue in new surrounds? Will they get on with their existing employee base? Do they know their role sufficiently, or is extra training on the cards? It's really where good HR shines. I can recommend showing them great interactive HR videos that explain your company's culture and ethos, and that only run about 45 minutes each. And there's also great team building exercises that I can recommend, like perhaps an escape room or a citywide scavenger hunt to get them all working together and communicating. Other good options are things like go-karting or paintballing, but they can also get too competitive and too physical. And if there's anything that HR is against, it's anything physical. Either way, those sorts of team building exercises build up trust and camaraderie and can be immensely rewarding in that they can open you up to new ways of thinking with and about your fellow employees. But a lot of this really just does come down to making sure you have clear lines of communication between management and your employees so you can iron out any issues before they get to the official warning stage. After all, as we say in HR, making new employees feel welcome is the new rock and roll. So there you go, Kobe. Once you've probably managed and focused your human resources in this new workplace environment, you'll be on track to organizational success in no time. Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. I've been Joe Ingles, and this has been the H&R Q&A session. I'll catch you next week on MBA Australia.